going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com.
With the 30th overall pick, the Buffalo Bills. Why do I sound like the guy with the Raiders? That's like the Raiders music. That's what this is. You know that, right, Josh? You played like the Raiders music. Is this the Autumn Wind as a Raider or no?
No, this is called
is that a
Classic Battle. I can
play
you the Raiders
battle.
One if you want.
No, that's okay. But it reminds me of John Facenda. This music reminds me of John Facenda doing the talk about the Raiders. But that's actually the Autumn Wind as a Raider, I think. And it doesn't matter. It's great football music. I appreciate it. It is NFL Draft Day. Welcome, everybody. As I love to say, wake up from your hibernation. It is NFL draft day. Spring is here. What's the temperature today? Over 70? Are we looking at over 70 today, Josh?
Yeah, last I saw was 73 or 74, something like that. So,
but you can't golf today. You can. I can't. I'm doing a radio show. Then I got to go to One Bills Drive and be there for the draft. I mean, Brandon Bean could golf today. He's like, yeah, board set. We've done our work. Could do that. I think that's happened before. Bean, Joe Shane, back in the day, I know Doug Whaley, his staff, like the work is done. It's kind of like Thanksgiving dinner, right? You prepare, you cook it. If you're host, you cook all this stuff, you get ready. And at some point, it's like, it's done. We're going to eat. And then we're just going to hang out. Like there's nothing else to do. If it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. If the turkey's bad, the turkey's bad, but we're going to live with it. That's where we are right now, folks, with the Buffalo Bills and the 2025 NFL Draft, which is tonight. The work is done. And then you get on the clock and the work starts again. So it's not like they know. Look, I get people asking me all the time, what are you hearing? What do you think? All that. The Bills are going to move up. They're going to move down. I'm going to give you the ultimate. This is it. The ultimate inside secret. You ready? You ready for this, Josh? This is the ultimate inside secret. I'm going to give it to you right now for the Bills. Even they don't know what's going to happen by the time they get to 30. They could trade up. They've done that. Two of the last 3 years. They could trade down. They did that last year. But the fact of the matter is, until they're on the clock, and until other teams are on the clock, and the board starts falling, nobody knows. The reason I say that is because if that were the case, we'd already have those deals. What is wild to me, independent of the Buffalo Bills, is we have not had one single trade of a first-round pick in this draft. That has never happened, I believe, in the common era of the NFL draft to this point. It is incredible. that that is the case. It will happen tonight. It would be amazing if there's no trades at all. Not only do you get to the first round and there's no trades, and then there's none in the first round. I mean, that would be mind-blowing. I can't see it happening. And it's even more mind-blowing the fact that really over the last several years, we've been seeing more and more trades. Younger general managers, you know, seriously, guys who played like Madden growing up and franchise mode. And we've talked about this with Brandon Bean and others, but not this year. This year is everyone is picking in their original spot where they were slotted to pick at the end of the season. There was no, well, you know what? This team has this team's first rounder from a trade 2 years ago. Not the case this year. Wild. The first trade we have in this draft, the first trade we have in this draft is pick number 39. That is a part of the Caleb Williams deal between Carolina and Chicago from a few years ago. So that's where, or I should say, that would be the Bryce Young deal. I always get that confused, Josh. It's the Bryce Young deal when Carolina took Bryce Young, and the next year they could have had Caleb Williams, right? That's how it went, I think. But that's the 39th overall pick. That's the first selection that is has been traded in this draft. The Bills are actually one of the higher traded picks in this draft. What I mean by that is pick number 56 the Bills have, that is originally the Minnesota Vikings pick, which was traded to the Houston Texans. And then the Texans traded it to the Bills as part of the Stephon Diggs deal last year. So that's the Bills pick at 56. The Bills have number 30 overall right now. Who knows where the board's going to fall? I have unveiled just a little over 3 hours ago. I have unveiled my one and only mock draft. I do it every year around the same way. Either the night before or the morning of the first round of the NFL draft, I post my mock draft. One round, no trades, and that's it. Let's go. I'm going to be really honest with you. I love doing mock drafts, the exercise. I don't love posting a mock draft, but I got to do it. It's part of my job. Here's the reason why. I just think you're so unpredictable. Now, it's different if the Bills are at 8 or 9, the year they took out Oliver. Like, that's a little different for me. But time you get to 30, it's such a crapshoot. Like, who's going to be there? That's my point of, we just don't know. We just don't know. I have some feelings, though, strong feelings on, I think, how the Bills want to lean in this draft. And I think overall, they want to lean defense, especially early. Defense, defense, defense. I would be really surprised if I would, as I sit here right now, I'd be very surprised if the first pick for the Bills is something other than defensive line or cornerback. I don't know what they're going to do. They could, all this smoke about safety, I want to get to that in a second, okay? I just would be surprised. Brandon Bean just spoke 2 days ago about how they set the board up for their board. It is not the consensus overall board. All these boards you see, Mel Kiper's big board, Dane Brugler's big board, Daniel Jeremiah's big board, Todd McShay's big board, all of your big boards, whatever it is. Those big boards are the consensus, like, top players and talented players. Yes, that is a component of it for each team. But how the Bills do it, and I'm assuming most teams, they're building their big board based on their team, their roster, their needs, their fits more than anything. That's probably the first thing they build on, their fits for their team. How he fits in. And then you go to need, right? When people say best player available, I always say the Bills will draft a best player available as long as it's not at a position they're not going to use them. If the best player available is a quarterback, they're not taking him. If the best player available is an offensive lineman, they're not taking him. I'd be pretty confident in saying that right now. But if the best available player is a defensive tackle, I think he's a Bill. If it's a corner, I think he's a Bill. If it's really, really close, which happens, and by best player available, you might have some nuance there. Is it best player by a very slim margin or a wide margin? If it's a wide margin, it's that guy if he's at a position they can use. If it's at a thin margin, you know what? Maybe we can wait another round. What does the next group look like? Where's the depth for this position? These things matter. So while I'll be the first to tell you, yes, they will draft BPA over need. It's not true BPA, but they certainly don't just draft need. They don't just say, we just need a corner, let's go get one. You can't do that. You can't just grab a guy because he plays a position. You do draft a guy at a certain position because you have a need for it on your team. That's the nuance of it, and it's always tough to kind of navigate around the wording of that. I have my mock draft, WGR550.com. Go check it out. I also posted it on X at SalSports. You can check it out there. You can give me your feedback. That's always getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at NorthtownKia.com. It is time for you, ladies and gentlemen, to call your shot. Let's do it. Call your shot. Who are the Bills taking at pick number 30? I have, because of the way the board fell, that's why I say I hate posting it and everybody thinking now Sal thinks they're taking that guy. I mean, it's just, no, this is the way the board fell. But I do think that this player would be a player they would like. Ohio State defensive tackle Tyleek Williams. I think Kenneth Grant could be in play. A lot of you like Kenneth Grant. I don't have him falling in my board to the Bills. I have, let me just go see where I have Kenneth Grant. I got to go back to where I did this. Hold on one second. I'm going to pull up my mock draft here. I have Tyleek Williams going 30th overall to the Bills. And I have Kenneth Grant going to his former college coach, made a connection there, Jim Harbaugh at 22 from Michigan, and Harbaugh obviously at the Chargers. In fact, I have back-to-back Michigan Wolverines at 22 and 23. Kenneth Grant at 22. Will Johnson, the cornerback at 23, who I have slipping a little bit because of the injury concern. When you get down to 30, I mean, I could see a corner. I'm here to tell you, folks, if they take a corner, I will not be surprised. I've just always felt that the Bills feel they can wait on a corner to the second round because there should be some more guys available there. And with the moves they've made with Dane Jackson and Tre'Davious White, they could at least get by, feel comfortable with a guy there until someone's ready to kind of step in and play. But they do need someone to step in and play, and a younger guy to step in and play. It's not just going to be Christian Benford and Tre'Davious White, let's roll. I don't think that. I think Tre'Davious White could be a starter day one, though. I really do. Week one. I think, like, to me, what I'm saying is I think the Bills feel Tre'Davious White might be a starter week one. It's not guaranteed, though. But this team absolutely has a need at defensive tackle, A, because they have to be better there, and B, look at the roster and numbers. I just think it's how it all fits. So that's why I have them going defensive tackle. Tyleek Williams is the guy I chose. Now, Tyleek Williams is a guy, he's not a true one technique. We've talked about this before. What does that mean, one technique? Well, one technique's more like a nose guard, right? He's a guy, the Bills don't play a 3-4. A 3-4 is a true nose guard. Three guys up front, so one nose guard, two defensive ends that are playing a little bit tighter than what you would in a 4-3, which is two defensive tackles, two defensive ends on the outside. He can play a one technique, which is closer to the center, a little bit more over the guard, and something the Bills need. They have Daquan Jones. Daquan Jones has not been the same since he was hurt in London in 2023. He's also getting a little older. He's also got 1 year left in his deal. They have Ed Oliver, who they really like, but he's undersized. I mean, I've seen people think the Bills should draft Walter Nolan if he's available. And maybe. But to me, that's taking another Ed Oliver. I don't think the Bills want to do that. That's not the fit. The fit is a bigger guy. I have Tyleek Williams at NFL.com. His prospect profile has him at 6'3", 334. Okay? Now, he's not as long as I think the Bills would like. But I think he could anchor, be the one technique, help out against the run, and be a part of a rotation. Is it sexy? No. And what I mean by that is, it's a rotational player. But folks, other than maybe corner, I could understand that. Who's actually coming in and starting on this team right away, day one, all the time, full-time starter? Maybe corner, but you got to really love him then. And I still think the Bills wouldn't be sure on that. Now, if you want to go to safety, there's been a lot of smoke about that. Let's talk about it. We'll also throw out the phone number. Call your shot. 803-0550 is the number to call here in the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Coming up at 10:30, very excited to bring you a young man who is getting ready for the NFL draft and what else might hold for him this weekend, whether it's the draft, priority free agent, undrafted free agency. He's from Buffalo. went to St. Francis High School. So no, it's not Sean Dolak, who very well could get drafted, and I think he will. Another defensive player from Buffalo who's not getting talked about enough. His name is Matt Jaworski. Matt started out at St. Francis High School, but due to COVID, he wound up transferring to a high school in Alabama because Western New York and St. Francis didn't have football that year. Went to a high school in Alabama, and from there, went on to play college football. And how about this? He was the defensive player of the year in the Patriot League at Fordham. And he has measurables. And he has the body that can translate to the NFL. And he's going to join us at 10:30, a little bit on his story, what teams maybe he's met with, could be interested in him. We'll get with Matt Jaworski at 10:30 a.m. Excited to talk to Matt. We'll also talk at 11 a.m. with Andy Young from Spectrum News 1. Andy's going to be down at the media room. Andy and I basically sit next to each other all the time in the media room. So whenever, the way it works is like we're in the back row, and sometimes you can't hear all the questions in the front row. I know a lot of you say the same thing. You can't hear the questions. We can't really sometimes in the back row, and even the answers sometimes. There's not really a speaker there. So I might lean over to Andy and go, did he just say this? Yeah, shh, okay. And we're typing. So anyway, I want to thank Andy for helping me out there. But in the meantime, does a great job of covering the Bills. He's going to join me at 11 a.m. I'll get his thoughts on, you know, the Bills and what he thinks they might do at number 30 and the way this draft might shake out. I've also asked you on Twitter, not just about the Bills, but where do you think I went right? Where do you think I went wrong as far as the draft overall? I do have Cam Ward going number one. I think that that is going to happen. I'm not convinced Cam Ward's going to be a terrific quarterback, but I think when you're in this position as the Tennessee Titans, who've never drafted number one overall, you have to do it. If you like a guy at least enough to think he can be a franchise quarterback, you got to take that swing. I mean, let's be honest. It's kind of like the Bills with Josh Allen. A lot of people didn't love Josh Allen, but the Bills are like, look, we're drafting high. We like this kid. We think he can translate, and they drafted him. So to me, I'm not comparing Ward to Allen. I'm saying the philosophy of drafting a quarterback early if you need one and you're in that position, you almost have to do it. Travis Hunter I have going number two to the Cleveland Browns. I just think that's a slam dunk. If the Cleveland Browns don't take Travis Hunter, I think it's malpractice. This is a generational talent. Now, you're going to say, Sal, you just said if you have a position to draft a quarterback. I agree. I just think the drop-off from Ward to the next group is significant enough to say you can't pass on Hunter. I have Abdul Carter going number three to the Giants, but I do think the Giants are a team to watch for to climb back into the first round, which gets me to the Bills back at 30 again. We have seen a lot of people over this morning since last night linking the Bills to a safety at number 30. Malachi Starks is the name that most have been saying. But there are some saying Nick Emmanuori. Okay? I like both these players a lot. I think they're two very different players. All right? Starks is more of a center fielder, safe bet, really kind of really high floor. He could have a high ceiling. I'm going to say he has a low ceiling, but high floor. This is a really good football IQ, smart guy. No doubt about that. I think that Emmanuori, though, is more of your kind of really freak athlete, can make plays in any situation. Oh, my God. Like, just put him on the field and watch him go. And anybody could use a guy like that, right? I mean, this guy's 6'3", 220 playing safety, and he's going to translate. He's going to play well in the NFL. We had a discussion this morning on the morning show with Jeremy and Joe. And we got into it a little bit. It was a great discussion. Jeremy and Joe made the case and the defense for drafting a safety at number 30, because this has been kind of the groundswell of this. I am not here to push back on making that case. I think you can do it. I understand how anybody can do it. But as I've said time and time again over the last couple months, I think my job here should be more so to tell you what I think the Bills feel about their team, not what Sal Capaccio does. I can give you that. It doesn't matter, really, if I think the Bills should draft a safety. I'm telling you, I'd be surprised if they draft a safety. I think the Bills feel a lot more invested and comfortable with Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop than you do, a lot of you. I think they feel a lot more comfortable and invested in Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop and what they're doing with them than a lot of the national media does, who just look at PFF grades and coverages and things like that and where the Bills could use a guy. Again, want to make the case they could draft a safety? be my guest. It's okay. I mean, I could get there too. And the biggest reason for me, believe it or not, would probably be more opposite of the biggest reason for you. I don't know how sold they are on Bishop. I think they're sold on him, but they did draft him in the second round last year, and that would be a complete departure for me for what they feel about how they need to treat the position after having that asset invested. I think they're totally in on Taylor Rapp as their number one safety. But with Rapp, you do have some injuries. So that's why I don't see it. But why suddenly are all these people safety to the Bills? Could it be what I said, where they're looking at the metrics and the PFF grades and all that? Sure. Have we thought about this, though? Maybe there's some smoke around it because the Bills are trying to entice a team to come up to 30. Maybe there's some chatter around the league. Oh, the Bills really like a safety at 30, because the Bills say, you know what? That's very plausible. And if that somehow gets around, then maybe a team says, ooh, we want to come up and grab that safety because he's starting to fall. And the Bills drop back and get some more picks because they don't feel that there's a guy at 30 that's commensurate with where they're picking as far as value. That could be it. I'd be surprised if the Bills took a safety. I'd be very surprised if they took a wide receiver. I don't think that's happening in round one. I know a lot of you think they should want one. Again, I look at how this team operates, being around this team for 8 years, this regime for 8 years, and their philosophy, how they've operated in the past, and the things that they've said this offseason, and how they've built their roster this offseason. It's not perfect. I could be wrong, no doubt about it, but I'd be surprised. I would not be surprised if they draft a defensive lineman or a cornerback. And I also wouldn't be surprised, and I've been predicting, they draft three defensive players between Thursday and Friday, with as long as they're kind of staying in those positions. If they drop way back in the second round or get to the third round, then I think some other things do come into play. 803-0550. All right, let's get your thoughts on this overall. Let's go to Jim in Lakeview. Hi, Jim. You're on WGR.
Yeah, Sal. You know, I kind of disagree with your pick, and I'll tell you why. And I really believe a playmaking safety should be in play for the Bills. You look at the PFF grades for the Bills defense last year. You know, they were in the top 10 on first down and second down. They were 29th on third down. They couldn't get off the field, especially in third and long situations. Now, a one technique defensive tackle isn't even going to be on the field on third and long. And I really think that's something they need to address, these third down situations where they can't get off the field. And I harken back to something Dan Orlovsky said on your radio station after the Bills lost to the Chiefs. He said basically the Bills don't have enough playmakers in the backfield, defensive backfield. Mm-hmm. And you see that especially against the great quarterback. So drafting a one technique, especially the guy at Ohio State, he's not going to be on the field on third down. And boy, that's where we need the major improvement on third down.
Yeah, all good points. I respect it. What about corner or edge rusher for this? Edge rusher would help everybody, obviously, if you have a guy that can get off the edge. And then corner could help for exactly what you're saying, maybe.
What I would say, Sal, is if there's of those three positions, whichever the Bills rate the highest player. In other words, if they rate the safety higher than the other two, fine. If they rate the corner higher than the other two, fine. I take the guy that's highest on their board in either of those positions, speed rusher, cornerback, or safety. But I think they really got a good shot at Starks from Georgia. And
here's my point on Starks, though, Jim. Again, here's my point on Starks again. All right, I want you to think like the Bills here. You can look at all those metrics you want. You can hear, listen to Dan Orlovsky. Have the Bills ever operated like that? Did they take a safety, an early guy, a young guy, and they put him in their system and play right away? It just doesn't happen. I just don't see it. That's why. I'm not telling you that they shouldn't. I know you're making the point. I'm telling you to put yourself in their position. Do you see Brandon Bean doing it? I don't.
Well, they should. I mean, they should consider it because...
I know, but that's not what I'm asking you. I'm asking you, do you think they would, considering what you know about them?
They have to look back at their complete failures in the playoffs, especially against Kansas City, and see where they failed. And their failure is not being able to get off the field and not having playmakers in the defensive backfield. That should be their focus. How do we get past...
I understand. I'm still asking you the same question, though. That's okay, though. It's okay. I know you think they should do that. I'll ask one more time. Do you think the Brandon Bean will actually do that?
I think if Brandon Bean has an honest evaluation of where his biggest weaknesses are, yes, I think he would reevaluate. Okay. I don't think they're stuck in one position and totally inflexible.
No, I don't either. I just know how they operate at safety, and that's why I'm pushing back. Thanks, Jim. Great call. I appreciate the thoughtfulness. And listen, I agree with you that, you know, third down has been an issue, and those areas would help more than a one technique, no doubt. I'm going to keep asking that question to everybody, though. Okay? You can keep telling me they should. I want you to put yourself in their position and say, think about how they think about things. Even if you disagree, think about how they think about things. That's always been my position on this. Aaron in Attica. Hi, Aaron. Go ahead. You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
I'm good.
So, your safety point, I 100%, I don't think that they should go there with 30. But what do you think about them going there in the second round? I think about guys like Kevin Winston Jr., Xavier Watts out of Notre Dame. I mean, even Billy Bowman out of Oklahoma. Those are guys like, to me, because I look at Rapp and Bishop, and I went back and watched more tape of Bishop, and they both are like box safeties to me. I feel like we are kind of lacking that, you know, Micah Hyde, the deep third, you know, safety that can roam the field a little bit. I don't know what your thoughts are on that. I just kind of wanted to ask you what you thought about.
Yeah, I think whether it's and whether it's a specific player, instead of saying that, Aaron, I'll say I absolutely think safety is going to get drafted at some point. I just don't think it's round one for this team. I'd be surprised if it's even round two. I think it's day three. It could be round three. I just don't see it. They just used that asset last year, and they have Taylor Rapp for two more years. And again, I'm going to go back to what I think they feel about Taylor Rapp. There's a difference between what fans and media think about Taylor Rapp, what I think the Bills do. The Bills feel he sets their defense. He's a captain and piece setter on that side of the ball. They rely on a down in, down out basis. They can play different roles. And let's remember, when he got to Buffalo, Taylor Rapp, he did play in the box more. It didn't go great, but they did use him that way. And then now you have Bishop, who can also come down to the box, who we did see play a lot there last year. Again, trying to bring you how I think they view it. I do think they will draft one. I'm wondering why so many people are linking them to him, because I don't see it as much. Good discussion. All right, Matt Jaworski, Fordham Defensive Player of the Year from Western New York. Hoping to hear his name called this weekend, but even if not, should be in an NFL camp. We'll get with him after this timeout on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Good discussions. Keep the calls coming. 803-0515 at Sal Sports. The draft is 3 days, two nights, tonight, tomorrow night, and then all day Saturday. And don't forget, tomorrow night, April 25th, Whalen Brewing Company in Orchard Park is where you can join us at the Ultimate Draft Party from 7 to 10 p.m., hosted by Jeremy and Joe. Test your knowledge with 5 rounds of trivia for awesome prizes, courtesy of Whalen, plus a special themed menu. Don't miss this party. Visit WGR550.com for details. Sal Capaccio with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, dreams come true this weekend, right? Whether it's first round, second round, day number three, undrafted free agents, teams will be signing them as well. Not only do you have, obviously, your name players that people know about, recognize, do mock drafts with, but also a lot of local guys who are hoping to advance their careers to the next level. One of them is Matt Jaworski, who's from Western New York, went to St. Francis High School, and was recently named the Defensive Player of the Year for the Patriot League at Fordham University. He joins me right now on the Western Hotline. Matt, good to talk to you. It's Sal Capaccio here in Buffalo. Congratulations on a great season, and thanks for joining me today.
Hey, Sal. Thank you. Appreciate you having me on today.
You got it, man. All right, familiarize our listeners with you and your story, if you could. Just kind of growing up, where you grew up here in Western New York, and kind of your path to where you got today.
Yeah. Grew up in Hamburg. Went to St. Francis for 4 years, and then ended up going to Fordham in the Bronx in New York City.
And when you got to Fordham, I mean, what was it like for you to advance from high school to the college level? What was that transition like for you?
It was, you know, I was thankful to go to St. Francis, where Jerry Smith, the head coach there, was had sent, you know, hundreds of players to the next level. So he was able to, you know, prepare me what day-to-day would kind of look like, and, you know, how practice changes. So I ended up showing up prepared and was able to make, you know, significant playing time as a freshman, and it kind of just pushed my career fast, forward really fast, and it was good.
There was a bit of a gap there, right, though, between St. Francis and Fordham due to COVID. Can you tell us about that experience?
Yeah, so COVID was kind of just my whole time that getting recruited. I wasn't able to visit any of schools that offered me. So Fordham was actually the only school that I saw. It was like 2 days before everything shut down. So out of all my offers and everything, Fordham was the only school I was able to go see. So that's kind of where COVID affected my class. You know, we didn't get COVID years or anything, or really weren't able to get recruited other than just phone calls and Zooms. So I was fortunate enough to see that at least a couple of days before COVID hit.
So you go to Fordham, and you said you started to get some time your freshman year. And then as things progress, especially in this day and age of the portal and transfers and all those kinds of things, why'd you stay at Fordham?
Yeah, so I obviously had some opportunities my junior year to go play my senior year somewhere else. But I don't know, just I was elected captain to go in my senior year. I had a semester left, so I was able to graduate early. And I had a really good relationship with both my head coach and my my D-line coach at the time. And I was able, you know, I just felt like the best place for me was Fordham. And I think loyalty to a program and to coaches means something. And I stayed at Fordham for my last year, and I think it's going to turn out well.
All right, so now you're at this process. You are named the Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year. First of all, let's go through last year. I mean, a very productive year. What was last year like for you, being so highly productive and being able to make plays and obviously earning some honors?
It's fun, you know what I mean, to go out there and, you know, you play with some of the guys for 4 years. So, you know, playing with your best friends and, you know, being able to lead them, being a captain, and it feels great. And then to go out and have success with it is even better. So it was just, you know, it was good to kind of see, you know, 3.5 years of hard work pay off. And yeah.
So we have here, obviously, I'm sure you're familiar with Sean Dolak, and everybody wondered why, from the University of Buffalo, first-team All-American, wasn't at the Combine, didn't go to a lot of the bowl games. How about you, your postseason? Were you in the mix? Did you have any talks about going to any of these bowl game invites, Combine, anything like that? How did all that process go for you?
Yeah, so I did the CGS Bowl in Fort Worth, Texas. That was just like a weekend with a couple scrimmages. You know, you meet with teams and so that I did that for a weekend. And then, yeah, just, you know, for FCS, it's tough to get that type of exposure. But I actually work out with Dolak at least probably 3 times a week with
That's cool.
John Offer at Performance. So I know both of them very well.
All right. So you're listed here. I'm looking at 6'4", 250. Is that about what you are now, or how have things changed since last year?
Weight will fluctuate, but I'm about 255 now. And for my pro day, I ran around like 248.
Okay, so when you go through the process with teams, where do they basically try to slot you on the defensive side of the ball at the next level?
It really just depends on the team and their scheme. You know, I fit both in a 4-3 and a 3-4. So, you know, some look at me more as a four-down D-end, which I'd probably weigh, you know, more towards 260, 265. And then there's teams that see me more as like an outside linebacker in a 3-4, which would kind of just be my weight right now, 250, 255. So it'll really all just depend on where I go, what scheme they want me to play, and what position they think, you know, kind of fits my body type best.
I'm guessing you're comfortable doing either of those things?
Yeah, I've weighed 240 and I've weighed 270. So it's
that's amazing.
Familiar with all of it, and I enjoy it all. So,
yeah, the Bills used to have a guy here named Lorenzo Alexander. I don't know if you remember when he played when you were growing up, but Lorenzo had literally been over 300 pounds. He had been 250. He had played O-line, D-line. It's amazing what you guys can do to transform your body like that to be able to play. What about special teams? Obviously, a guy like you, if you hook on with a team, you're going to probably be asked to play special teams.
Definitely. Yeah, so, I mean, going to Fordham and kind of playing all 4 years, I've played every special teams. You know, I did, I think my freshman and sophomore year, I played every single special teams except punt for, you know, the 12, 11 games that we did play. So familiar with it, and I'm definitely going to be expected to play some special teams. So,
Matt Jaworski joining me here on the Wester Hotline. All right, Matt, so what has the pre-draft process been like for you? Have you met with teams? And I'm sure people listening would like to know if you specifically met with the Bills.
Yes, I did the Bills local day. Was able to do the Giants and the Jets as well. Between my agent and I, we've talked to just about all 32 teams, whether that be phone calls, Zooms, or in person. So it's going well. Yeah, I'm just excited for this weekend and really grateful for this opportunity. And we'll see what comes of it.
Is there any sort of like insight into, you know, where people think you might fit in? Is there phone calls made about, hey, if you're not drafted, priority free agent, have you had those processes? Do you, from your end, you just kind of sit back, you wait, and then whatever happens on Saturday happens on Saturday?
Yeah. I mean, I would like to say, I think I have an idea. But then again, right. It's, you know, you never know. Like I have draft grades and from a UDFA to, you know, a draft grade, but you know, at the end of the day, you don't really know until it happens. So you just kind of stay patient and it'll all figure itself out.
You grew up here. Did you grow up a Bills fan? Did you watch the NFL? Are you a Bills fan?
Yeah, definitely. You know, I remember growing up and, you know, walking around tailgates and my grandpa used to always bring an RV so we'd go hang out and the whole family would show up and watch games. So yeah, definitely a Bills fan.
And obviously, the story of Joe Andreessen last year. Do you know Joe at all in his path to the NFL? And obviously, that's a great story as well.
Yeah, I've met Joe, you know, a ton of times. He works out at the same place with John Offer, so a lot of those guys are always in there, especially all the local Buffalo guys. So yeah.
All right, Matt, thank you very much for joining us today. Listen, man, best of luck. Whatever happens this weekend, I know a dream could definitely come true for you and wherever you land. I know a lot of people hope it's right here in Buffalo with the Buffalo Bills, but you get on with one of these 32 teams in the NFL. That's something, man. So congratulations on a great career, and let's catch up again after that happens. Okay, buddy?
Sounds good, Sal. Thanks for having me on.
All right, you got it. That is Matt Jaworski. He was the Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year, 6'4", 250. He said he can play at 275. He can play a little bit shy of 250. It is amazing how people can transform their body. Not unlike my producer, Josh Schmidt. Josh, you can do that to your body, right? You can go up to 250 and go down to 200, right? I mean, it's just easy for you.
Yeah, that's a Tuesday afternoon. What are you talking about? Come on.
Of course, right? Especially when, when they bring some of that good food to the bistro. I know you, right? And then you're like, I got to get rid of this. You go to the gym, right? No, it's right. You go eat it, and they're like, I got to go. I'm the same way. I got to eat some food. Like now I got to go work out a little extra tomorrow. Right? Get back down to the weight that I need, right? It was not a shot. It was just meaning that we have good food in the bistro sometimes. That's all it is, buddy. I appreciate it. All right, so that is Matt Jaworski, and obviously he's hoping to hear his name called. And then you have Sean Dolak, and I have seen a lot of projections for Sean Dolak that I think are now starting to creep towards him being selected maybe earlier than people thought a couple months ago, right? Earlier, a couple months ago, it's like, okay, priority free agent, undrafted free agent. I think now you're looking at a day three pick. I wouldn't be surprised if it's even before the seventh round. He's going to be on teams' radars. He had a great pro day, the local day for the University of Buffalo, the pro day for the University of Buffalo, I should say. His times, his strength, his speed, all that, very, very in line with a lot of the top players at his position from the combine. His size kind of fits in. He's very similar in a lot of ways to Matt Milano with his size. I'm not comparing the player. I think that'd be very unfair to do that. But I do think Sean Dolak has a very legitimate chance to get drafted this weekend. The Bills draft number 30. What do you want him to do? Call your shot. What do you think they're going to do? I have my mock posted at WGR550.com and at South Sports. We'll take a timeout here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about what the Bills might do at number 30. I got a couple scenarios I want to lay out for you. And then Andy Young of Spectrum News One joins me at the top of the hour here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All righty, the Bills picking number 30 in tonight's NFL draft. Will they pick number 30 in tonight's NFL draft? That's always the that is always the question, right? Heading in, seeing how it falls. When the Bills were picking higher, ninth overall at Oliver, they were lower in 2018. They traded up for Josh and then even Tremaine Edmonds later a couple of times. I mean, Brandon Bean has more of a history of trading up than down. Someone said to me today, they expected Bean to trade down because that's what he does. I'm like, well, he did last year. He's actually traded up more often in the first round than down. Traded up in 2022 for Kyrie Elam. traded up in 2024, I'm sorry, 23, for Dalton Kincaid, and traded up in 2018 for Josh Allen, and then again for Tremaine Edmonds. So I don't think there's any rhyme or reason about him trading up or down. He's been a GM for, this is his eighth draft. So you could take a look at all those things. He's traded up, he's traded down, he's stayed the same. And I think really where he does a lot of moving is second and third round, though, generally. All right, folks, listen all week for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the 5th annual Micah Hyde Charity Softball Game at Salem Field. It is Sunday, May 4th. Your favorite offensive and defensive players play against each other to benefit the Imagine for Youth Foundation. Tickets are on sale at HydeCharitySoftball.com. Also, Bisons.com. Yesterday, I was down there, and it was a great day for the press conference. We did the show from down there, as you know. Really cool to be a part of that and to see Micah and everybody helping to put that on. So the couple scenarios I said I'd lay out for you. So that was it, trading up and trading down. Here's the issue, all right? We know the Bills don't have 30 first-round grades. Brandon Bean admitted that. He said that, and everybody knows this class does not have 30 first-round graded talents across the board. It's very rare any class does, actually, by the way, have 30 players that have a consensus first-round grade. Generally, you'll get most teams to say they have about 20 to 25, somewhere in there. This year seems way less. This draft has maybe 12 to 15, it looks like, first-round talented players, first-round graded players, according to most reports that you're seeing. The Bills are sitting at 30. So, but just because there's, let's just say there's 15. That might be high-end, but let's say there's 15. If there are 15 first-round graded players, that doesn't mean all 15 are going in the top 15 draft, you know, picks. Someone's going to fall. The question is, where do they get to? 19, 20, 21. Once that starts happening, that's when Brandon Bean has to make a decision and say, okay, there are two guys left that we have first-round grades on, and they could fit our team. I'm going to make a call to go up, because if I'm going to pick in the first round, I want a first-round guy. I don't want to be picking 30th, a second-round guy, in the first round. So he has to make that decision. And he's done that again. He's done that a couple times over the last few years. You go up and you get a player who has a first round grade, because if you don't, then you're eventually picking a player in the first round who doesn't have a first round grade, and you don't want to do that. It's not easy, but that's how you have to look at it. The second scenario would be he doesn't do that because it would cost too much, and he's not going to go up and trade away whatever assets it takes to get up there. So he waits. All the first round graded guys are gone by the time you get to 30, and he says, well, I'm not taking a guy at 30 that doesn't have a first-round grade. So he does what he did last year. Moves down into the second round. And then takes someone. Then you gain more picks. More picks to move around the board later. More picks for next year. The only issue with that I see is you already have 10 picks. I don't know if 10 guys are making this roster. Now, I thought last year it'd be tough for 10 guys to make the roster. They used 10. 8 of them made it. I think this year it's even tougher because last year there was a lot more turnover. You do have two guys on the roster right now, 67 guys on the roster right now. Two of them are suspended for 6 games. Michael Hoyt and Larry Ogunjobi. So they will not count on the 53 at all. Like they, for the first 6 weeks, they'll be transitioned to another bucket that's reserve suspended list. So there are maybe a couple more opportunities. I still think it's tough for 10 guys to be drafted or undrafted free agents to actually make this roster. So if you're going to move down, if you're Brandon Bean, you're going to move down. I think that's a tough proposition because where you're getting more picks unless you then trade those picks a little bit later. All right, Andy Young, Spectrum News 1, joining me after this timeout of the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. It is draft night 2025. We're talking about it here on WGR. So much going on today and tonight. I'll be down at One Bills Drive all night. We'll have all of your draft coverage for you all night long. Nate, Zach, Derek, Josh, everybody chiming in. I'll be down at One Bills Drive tonight, tomorrow night. They'll be around all day Saturday. We'll have all your picks covered for you, no doubt about that. And of course, you got Jeremy and Joe heading over to Resurgence, Whalen Brewery on Friday. It's going to be a great time. Who knows what's going to happen? Maybe you want to go out and play golf, by the way, in this 70-degree weather today. Don't forget, we have your ticket to 8 amazing golf experiences with the WGR VIP golf card for just one low price of $129. Unlock a season of golfing adventures, including Diamond Hawk, Shamrock Hills, Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Bobolink, and Golf Dojo. Your WGR VIP golf card also hooks you up with a free box of premium Vero X1 golf balls from Encore Golf and score deals at Rick Zurek Golf Warehouse on Transit Road in Bowmansville. A portion of the proceeds are going to benefit PGA Hope. Get all the details and purchase your WGR VIP golf card today at getmyperks.com. All right, I have my mock at WGR550.com. I posted it on Twitter, at Sal Sports. You can react to that. That is Getting Connected with Our Fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Also, presenting his mock draft is on their podcast, The Buffalo End Zone, is Andy Young from Spectrum News One. Joins me now on the Western Hotline. You have your mock. I have my mock. Who really knows what the heck's going to happen tonight? Thanks for joining me, buddy.
Hey, no problem. I said we did a live mock draft on our podcast. I said we'd make a mockery of it. We had a few fans chiming in that said, hey, Kevin and Andy, don't do a mock draft ever again. So maybe that tells you something about what I know about mock drafting.
Listen, I will say, though, I'll let you reveal it, but if the draft fell the way you have it mocked, I would be very happy for the Bills, Andy. This is maybe my dream scenario, believe it or not, what you have for the Buffalo Bills. But the reason I don't have it is because I got the guy you have. I am going a little bit earlier in round one, but I love your first round. I love your second round. The question would be maybe the injury concern. Tell everybody what you have.
Yes. Yeah, so first round, we ended up with Derek Harmon out of Oregon, big defensive tackle who has some versatility, we think, to play one technique or slide over and play some three technique. So we love that. That's pretty good, right? And then in the second round, the first pick of the second round for the Bills, Darian Porter out of Iowa State, the long, rangy, fast, athletic cornerback, and I think that certainly fills a spot. And then with the second pick, we ended up on wide receiver, which I don't think is the pressing need, but I think if they find the right guy, they might go for it. And that pick, we went with Jalen Royals out of Utah State.
Okay, so I have Derek Harmon going a little bit earlier. I think that he's one of the more highly rated defensive tackles. Do you think he would possibly get to 30? Because in your exercise here with Kevin, did he get there because maybe the injury concern?
Yeah, we used the Pro Football Focus mock draft simulator, and he had slid down. So there was a few defensive tackles who had slid down. There are some injury issues there, and I think that I've seen him all over the board. I've seen him up in the high 20s, the early 20s, all the way down to mid-second round. So I think that wildly fluctuates as far as the mock drafts go of where this guy can be. I just look at the size, the skills, the traits, the production, and think, you know, if you're okay with his injury history, that, my God, that'd be a home run pick for the Bills.
Yeah, he has this week it just popped up, a shoulder that people are a little concerned about, a little red flag there. I still have him going 17th to the Cincinnati Bengals. I think that could happen. I have him going ahead of Kenneth Grant. That's a guy that a lot of people love for the Bills. If you're going to stick at this position, was Kenneth Grant still on the board, and what would you think about his fit in Buffalo?
Kenneth Grant was not on the board. He had also, I think, gone a few picks before that, if I recall right, in this, you know, projection here. And I would love him for the Bills, too, either of those guys. I think it would be a dream scenario if Harmon or Kenneth Grant fell. I think, like you've said many times, they need a physical force in that spot that can play that one technique spot and can hold up against the run game. We heard Brandon Bean talk about it in his pre-draft media availability, that if that guy can really stop the run, that adds to the value, because we know that's something the Bills have struggled with at times over the years. And then if they've got the potential to add some juice in the pass rush too, I think that's huge. We watched how the Philadelphia Eagles took care of business. We've watched how Chris Jones has taken care of business for the Chiefs. And it starts up front with that defensive line, because if you can't get to the quarterback, it doesn't matter who you got in the back end, it's trouble, because these guys at that level are so good, they can pick you apart. So, you know, guys who can stuff the run and generate some pass rush juice, I think that's huge, and it's something the Bills have really lacked.
I know this is a lot dependent on the board, how it falls in value, but I notice you don't have the Bills in your mock taking an edge rusher. Do you think that's an area where you could still see it happening, but it just didn't happen in your particular mock, or is it something that you think the Bills are a little bit more comfortable than some fans seem to think they should be?
No, I would have liked to have taken an edge. I just didn't see the value in the guys that were left the way the board fell. I mean, there's certainly a case to be made that you could even take one in the first round. I've seen a lot of guys fall, a lot of talk about James Pierce or Shamar Stewart, one of these guys kind of falling down. So that was kind of the glaring hole for me in our first three rounds of the draft. After that, it's kind of a crapshoot. You're just picking guys, right? You know, based on positional need, you know, some skills and things like that. So I think certainly edge is absolutely on the table with any of the three first picks.
We have had a really good discussion this morning about safety because suddenly there's the safeties being mocked to the Bills by a lot of the national writers, and especially Malachi Starks, but also you have Nick Emmanuori. My position is, Andy, and you tell me if you agree, disagree, what you think about this. My position is, while fans or media may think the Bills should do that, I just don't think the Bills are going to do it. I, the way they've operated at the position, I think they're much more comfortable with Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop than what fans believe they should be.
That's my initial inclination, is that because they have Taylor Rapp for two more years, because they invested a second-round pick in Cole Bishop, that they'd like to roll with that and get another year of those two together. They didn't get a whole ton of time together, right? And then, of course, you have DeMar Hamlin, who can start in a pinch if you need him to. I think they'd love to elevate Bishop into that role. But I do wonder, as I kind of notice the same things you do with all these different mock drafts, if there's some smoke to that, if there's some smoldering that maybe they weren't so happy with how that played out. And, you know, their coverage kind of lacked at times. Outside Christian Benford and outside Taron Johnson, their coverage in the passing game lacked last season. I think that was kind of a bit of an Achilles heel. Now, you can blame that on pass rush and not getting home, those sorts of things. But at the same time, I think maybe there is a possibility, if the right guy fell to them, that maybe they could upgrade that. What that would mean for Taylor Rapp or Cole Bishop if, say, they were to draft Malachi Starks or Nick Emmanuori in the first round, I don't know how that would all play out. That would be very interesting to see how they would utilize those type of guys. Is that a case for, if you say bring in Emmanuori, that you have more of a big nickel package that you haven't really had, that we heard so much about in the past, and then you can ease a guy like that in? I do think that when the Bills defense was at its best, they had two really good safeties in Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. And I don't think they got that style of play. I mean, it's hard to replace those guys. They were both all pros at different times in their careers, but I think they'd like to get better at safety. I just don't know that unless somehow the right guy fell to them, that they would want to take that with a first round pick. That seems like an odd use of resources, but it wouldn't shock me some point throughout the draft that they do take a safety and try to bring in a young guy. Now, I could be completely wrong on that, but I think that kind of takes it off the table for me in the first round.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to draft one. I just don't think it's as early as what we've seen here over the last, you know, 24 hours and people, this groundswell of that happening early. But I do agree that they could draft one. One theory I have, though, is it possible? Could you see this maybe, Andy, that maybe it's getting out there in some way, shape or form? The Bills want it out there. There's somehow that, you know, if they start to kind of feel like, if teams think they might draft either Starks or Emmanuori there, that becomes a spot where they think teams might want to come up and trade into, right? Like, hey, wait a minute, we can't let the Bills take him. We're hearing the Bills are going to take a guy there. It fits for them. Let's go get to 30 to get our guy, and then the Bills can move down, and maybe it's something like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, if they think that one of those guys is in that top first-round grade category, and we know that Brandon Bean said they definitely don't have 30 first-round grades on guys, right? So if one of those guys were to slip and they say, all right, a team wants to come up and get that guy, that begs the question to me, is this another year where they could trade back? Because if I think Tony Pauline reported, they only have 12 first-round grades on guys. Well, the odds of those guys getting to 30 are slim, so that's certainly a prime spot where they either are going to move up, way up, to get a guy that they want with a first-round grade, or they move back like they did last season, back into the second round. Maybe you acquire another third round pick, which you don't have to do so, and then you still draft a corner, defensive tackle, an edge guy that you think is in that second tier, but there's value in that second round and in that third round as well.
Andy Young joining me right now here from Spectrum News One. All right, let's talk about trades. Could you see a scenario the Bills say, well, we don't have 30 first round grades, we only have, I don't know, 15, let's say, just throwing out a number, it could be possible. And now somebody gets past 15, 16, 17. Now you're in the low 20s, just like 2022, just like 2023. Kyrie Elam, Dalton Kincaid. Suddenly Brandon Bean says, you know what? I'm going to go up and get a guy. I don't want to wait to 30 to take a guy in the first round who has a second round grade when I can actually just go up and get a guy who actually has a first round grade.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a possibility. And I think with 10 picks and with some ammo there, that they absolutely would do that. We know Brandon Bean loves to be jumpy and make those trades. I think, you know, throughout his time, he's shown the willingness to move up. Do I think they go up into the, you know, early teens? No. But early 20s, that's certainly a possibility. We've seen a track record of him doing that. And if, you know, if they love Kenneth Grant or they love whoever it might be and they think, man, at 24, we need to go up to get that guy or else he's not going to be there. We really love that guy. I think it's certainly a possibility that they rise up and, you know, give up, you know, second day picks, that kind of thing, to get up there, or a third day pick, a couple of them to move up, because they're not going to roster 10 rookies, right? They're going to move around the board at some point. It's whether they do that early or in the mid rounds, which they've done in the past as well.
Andy Young joining me here on Western Hotline. Do you think 10 guys make this roster? And if not, how does that change the thinking of Brandon Bean?
No, I don't think they do. However, I know that we talked about it a lot last year, that younger guys are going to have to be contributors because they poured so many big money contracts into Josh Allen and Christian Benford, Greg Rousseau, all these different guys, Khalil Shakir, Terrell Bernard, that you've still got big contracts for Dawkins and, you know, all Spencer Brown, right? So they've got to get contributions from rookies and young players on cost-controlled deals. However, 10 guys, that seems like a stretch when a lot of times five or six only make the roster coming out. So I think certainly it would lead me to think that they'll move up at some point, use some of those picks to move around the board and go after guys they really like, because I cannot see 10 rookies, especially most of those picks being in the back end of the draft, making this roster.
Yeah, I agree with you there. I mean, I thought the same thing last year, but 8 guys did make it out of 10. It was a little bit more of a transition last year than even this year, so right. I think it is tougher. However, that said, they do have 2 guys on suspensions for 6 games, right? Like, there might be a little more opportunity than we're thinking about because of Ogunjobi, because of Michael Hoyt, and now saying, okay, we got to kind of have an ability, you know, to replace these guys when it comes down to it. When you look around the roster right now, let's just go pure need, not best players, not talented. Look around the roster right now. If I said, what are the top 3 needs for this team heading into the draft? What are they?
It's defensive tackle, it's cornerback, and it's a tie between edge rusher and wide receiver. Wide receiver, I think, a little less than edge rusher, because if you think about it, Joey Bosa, short contract, AJ Epenesa, only 1 year left. So they've got to replenish that stock too. I know they have got a lot of high hopes in Javon Solomon, but we haven't seen it fully yet. So I think to pair somebody with Greg Rousseau, I think looking at edge rusher in those first 2 days, certainly definitely a possibility. I think cornerback, definite need. I think it lessens the blow a little bit just because of Tre'Davious White and Dane Jackson, that if they don't have a guy right away that can start, or they have a developmental guy that they feel, okay, we can survive this season. But I think definitely on the front lines, edge, defensive tackle, look at what they have there, right? Not a whole lot. Daquan Jones, expiring contract after this season, and older guy, right? So I think there's certainly room for those 3 spots, and wide receiver would probably be my 4th.
Yeah, I understand at wide receiver too, and I think it's a really good debate. I just feel the Bills really want a specific type of wide receiver. Same thing, by the way, for defensive tackle. We talked about they need a bigger guy, a bigger bodied guy at defensive tackle. I think they want a speed receiver, a guy that can come in and play part-time, maybe develop into a whole football player. Here's my issue with wide receiver, Andy. Whenever someone brings him up early, first couple of rounds, I don't know where he's playing. I mean, are you putting him on the field of a Khalil Shakir? No. Are you suddenly going to overdraft Keon Coleman? I don't think so. They just gave $9 million a year to Joshua Palmer. I mean, I just don't see how that fits.
Right. And I wonder, too, we talked about trading up. What if Matthew Golden somehow fell to 22 or 24? Do they want to go up and that's the speed guy that we need? That's our Z receiver, right? I don't think he's an X. I think he's definitely a Z receiver who can win at all levels. That's the only place where I see that. Otherwise, I think it would be later on in the draft, a different guy that they can use. Speed definitely is what they need. They need a field stretcher. They need somebody that can win vertically, that they still have not really addressed that and haven't really had that guy since like almost a John Brown, right? That a continual winner. Obviously, Steph Diggs could win in those situations. We saw a lot of deep balls go Diggs' way at certain times. If they were able to get like a number one alpha receiver, I don't think they would pass that up at all. But you're right. I think in the way that they're constructed now, we heard more talk about everybody eats Josh Allen wearing a freaking everybody eats established 2024 hat. That I think they still believe that Allen can, you know, is the tide that raises all ships and can elevate guys. So they're looking for guys with roles. They got their separator in Palmer. They've got their slot guy. They've got their big blocking X physical force in Keon Coleman that they hope arises and steps up. Now it's that speed element, that vertical speed element down the field.
All right. So we have a situation here with James Cook, his contract. He's not at, you know, voluntary workouts to start. Brandon Bean says, don't assume it's contract related. I think we all see what's happening here, though, and I understand why people would assume that, and I would assume that. We don't know how this is going to play out, but do you think there's a possibility the Bills take a running back in this draft? And if so, how high could they take him based on the James Cook situation?
My one wild card to this draft is if, and I don't think it's going to happen, I'm not predicting it happens, but it's out there. If they somehow decide that they want to trade James Cook, then all bets are off. If you think you need a Marion Hampton or one of these other guys that in this talented running back class, if you trade him tonight and then you draft a running back, that could be a whole different story. I don't see that happening. I'm not predicting it. But there is that little one wild card in the back of my mind. So if that doesn't happen, if James Cook is not traded for whatever reason tonight, then I think that running back would be fine to take later in the draft, fourth, fifth round, that type of thing.
Yeah, I think it's a spot where I could see a guy because it's a deep draft and you just never know. You got to have guys come into camp. They do have five guys right now on the roster, obviously, but come on, they could replace Darrington Evans with a draft pick, right? I mean, you could do that between now and training camp if you want at some point. I could see something like that happening, but man, I'd be really surprised if they took somebody before the fourth round. After that, I could see it. I mean, last year, Ray Davis was a fourth round pick, right? I mean, it's not just James Cook. You'd have to say, not only are you guarding against James Cook, Andy, you'd have to say, okay, we also think this guy would play pretty much over Ray Davis or Ty Johnson.
Right, and that's exactly it. I think that would also be important for them to possibly have a guy that has some ability in the return game as well, that maybe isn't just a thumper, but is more of a versatile threat, that then they could justify having, you know, four or five running backs. And I mean, I'm a proponent of, if you want to take a running back every year in the fifth, sixth round, and maybe you find a diamond in the rough and you move on from a different guy and you kind of keep replenishing that stock, that's great. But to invest early again, I mean, with Cook, with Davis, with all these different guys, I don't think you need to do that unless you make some drastic move to get rid of one of those guys.
Andy Young joining us here. A couple more minutes with Andy. I just want to talk about in general for the draft. When you went through this exercise, when you've done mocks, I mean, I do this and I'm like, oh my God, like this is a year where anything can happen. Anything surprise you? Is there a pivot point? For me, it's Jacksonville at 5. I think they can go any different way here. I guess the Giants could be a wild card because could they get back into it? Could they draft a quarterback? All those things are true, but anything kind of stand out to you about how this thing could flow tonight?
Yeah, you know, there's a couple of edge guys that I keep seeing falling in mock drafts, and I'm wondering why, like a James Pierce, right? Like a Shamar Stewart. We know about Shamar Stewart and his athletic profile, but lack of production on the field. And so that has kind of surprised me because edge rushers are such coveted positions, right? And so do some of those guys slip down further than we think, and then the Bills have a chance at those guys? Obviously, the whole deal with Jackson Dart, with Shedeur Sanders, with different quarterbacks, that always changes the dynamics of what a draft is because teams will reach for those guys because, as Brandon Bean has said, if you get the quarterback right, who gives a crap what you traded to get him? So, you know, could certainly see, does Pittsburgh go after Shedeur Sanders? Do the Giants trade back and get it back into the picture? Any of these teams that are quarterback hungry, do they do that and take a shot on Dart, Sanders, whoever else it might be? So that's certainly the pivot point for me, and I think Ashton Jeanty is huge. Who wants to take the best running back in the class, and how high do they want to take him?
All right, buddy. Enjoy tonight. What do you guys got going on tonight? What's your coverage going to be like tonight?
Yeah, we've got some preview shots coming up this afternoon. We'll have that on Spectrum News, kind of talking about, you know, what's to come. We'll hear from Brandon Bean. We'll do some stuff on social media, Kevin Carroll and myself, and then we'll kind of hunker down. I'll probably be sitting right next to you in our usual spots right in the media room there, and we'll do that, and then we'll have a podcast on first thing tomorrow morning, Buffalo End Zone podcast, kind of reacting to whatever happens in the first round. One of our best, most covered podcast we ever did that got the most engagement was last season, the Friday morning after, when they decided to trade that pick to Kansas City, and people were going bananas over was that the right move or the wrong move, and the whole Xavier Worthy deal. So, you know, we'll see if any kind of fireworks like that happen, but we'll have a fresh one on tomorrow morning.
All right, save me a spot, buddy. I appreciate it. I can't wait to be near you for the next 3 days, basically, and grab a cot and sleep down there, basically, is what we do.
Hey, we'll get to know each other pretty well, man.
We already do. Thanks a lot, Andy. Appreciate you, buddy.
Yeah, have a good one.
All right, that is Andy Young. He is at Spectrum News One. Does a great job covering the Bills. Go check him out. Him and Kevin Carroll doing the Buffalo End Zone podcast. And, yeah, they do a great job there. And, again, tonight, going to go down there and hang out and, you know, see what happens with the Buffalo Bills. It'll be a long night. Last year was a long night and even got longer and longer and longer and ultimately did not actually have a pick for the Buffalo Bills in the first round. So that's happening tonight. And, of course, everything gets started at 8 p.m. tonight, 7 p.m. tomorrow night. How will the entire first round play out? Good question, because I think this year is a year that anything can really happen. And I mean, especially after I think the first three picks, I guess you could have some movement in the first three, but I think it's Ward, Hunter, Carter. I think Will Campbell's pretty set now at four from what people are saying. And that's where I have, that's the tackle from LSU going to the Patriots. Five is really the, as I said, pivot point for me. So much smoke lately about Ashton Jeancey going to the Jags, about the Bears trading up for Ashton Jeancey at number five. I don't do trades in my mocks because I just think it throws everything off. You get one trade wrong, and how do you predict a trade? Then the whole thing falls apart. So I just keep it where it is and try to do my best and whatever trades happen. And this year, there are no trades right now, so we'll see. I have the Jags at five not taking Jeancey, although I think he is possible. I have them taking Tet McMillan. And the reason is because he has been very comped to Mike Evans, the wide receiver of Tampa. Well, who is the new Jaguars head coach? Liam Cohen. He was the offensive coordinator of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think he'd love to get a guy like Mike Evans. It didn't work out yet with Gabe Davis and them. Had some injuries last year. Didn't really hit on that. They did draft Brian Thomas Jr., and that did work out. But I think they need another weapon. He wants another weapon. He wants to throw the ball for Trevor Lawrence. And I think Tet McMillan could very well be the pick. Although, I will tell you, not shocked if they take an offensive lineman there. Not shocked if they take Mason Graham there. And not shocked if they take Ashton Jeancey. I think that is the spot. After that, I do have Ashton Jeancey going to the Raiders. To me, that is one of the most slam dunk types of picks if he's available. Raiders could surprise everybody. I think Jeancey to the Raiders is something that very, very well could happen, provided he's there. And then I have what some do at number seven, but not a ton. Who's playing tight end for the Jets? I mean, think about for the Jets for a second. They don't really have a tight end. They got a bunch of no-names, basically. You know, no disrespect, but guys who've never really done much in the league. They brought in Justin Fields. They want him to have kind of easier throws, I'm sure, not have to sit back there behind an offensive line that's going to get him beat up. I know they need offensive line help. And their new head coach is Aaron Glenn, who just came from Detroit. I know he's a defensive guy, but they drafted Sam Laporta in Detroit. Look what happened there. So I have Tyler Warren, the tight end, going to the Jets at seven from Penn State. And that means Mason Graham falls all the way down to eight because some people think he can go top five, top six. I have Mason Graham at eight to the Panthers. And then Armon Membu, who could go to the Jets, I have him at nine to the Saints. And a lot of people asked, what do you mean? The Saints aren't going to take a quarterback? Maybe. Maybe they jump back into the first round. Maybe they do. I have them taking an offensive lineman who, if he drops that far, could be the most talented player still left on the board. And then, just to wrap up my top 10, I do have two running backs going to the first round. I think the Bears do want a running back. They need a running back. Omarion Hampton is the guy I have going to the Bears with number 10. I could see them trading up, but if they stay where they are, again, think about who their coach is. Ben Johnson, where'd he come from? Detroit Lions, using two running backs, using this type of running back who can really run downhill to help out. Caleb Williams, take some pressure off him. I think it's not what I've seen a lot of, two running backs in the top 10, but I have it. So there you go. That's my top 10. Check it out, WGR550.com. Check it out at Sal Sports as well. Make sure you reply and you know, interact. And that, of course, is getting connected with our fans. Brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at Northtown Kia. NBCSportsHQ.com. All right, more draft talk. Call your shot. I'm going to open up the phone lines right now for the last half hour of the show. 803-0550. Call your shot. Who are the Bills taking? Who do you want them to take? What do you want them to do tonight? Trade up, trade down, take a specific player. Whatever it is, it's on the table right here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show on WGR.
And it's ran like a pro-type university. They do a really good job of preparing us for the next level, and they treat you like a pro the first day you step in there. So just kind of when you're there, you have no choice but to learn how to be a pro. So just taking that and running with it, and just having the advice of guys as Hardy and Reed, just, you know, coming back and giving tips and telling me to be myself. You know, handle it like a business and stay true to myself. I think those are the biggest things. And like I said, the University of Georgia did a great job of preparing us for the next level.
I apologize, Josh. Did you say that's Malachi Starks? Is that who that is? Yeah, okay, thank you. And that is, he is the safety from Georgia. I love what he said right there, and he's right. You know, you think about these Georgia guys that have translated to the league. I mean, the Eagles have done such a great job, especially with their defenders that they've taken from Georgia, and look where they are, and they're Super Bowl champs, and they have several of them. There's no doubt about that. You know, Malachi Starks would be another one I think you can transition, and he's right. The way they prepare, it's a pro program. A lot of these colleges are becoming that. They already have been, even more so now with NIL. And paying them, right? But you're right, and he's right. And that's why I think a guy like, I have Tyleek Williams going to the Bills in my mock because that's the way the board fell. And I think about that, which is he'd be coming from a program that produces pro players and runs its program like an NFL program, more so than a lot of others do. And you'd already have a guy that's ready to kind of step in and understand that aspect of life and that aspect of football. So I do think it matters like that. It's funny, earlier today we had on Matt Jaworski. Matt is a local kid who grew up in Hamburg, went to St. Francis High School, and then went to Fordham, and he became the Patriot League Defensive Player of the Year. And he said St. Francis High School groomed him well to understand what the college, you know, what college football would be like. And I think that does matter, and it does help you a lot. You get guys come in the league, get guys come in the NFL, they just don't have the wherewithal to be able to step right in right away. And the resources and the knowledge and the understanding of what's going to be like to have money, to have adults around you all the time, guys with families, you know, and getting out of work schedule. It's different. It's just different, you know, and I think that matters to the Bills. It's not an end all be all, but it matters. It's also a reason why we keep hearing things about like Keon Coleman. And what did we hear this week again from Josh Allen? Keon Coleman's young. Reminder, he's still really young, right? He's gonna get bigger. He's going to get stronger. He's going to understand what it takes throughout a season. And I agree with that. It doesn't mean it's going to work necessarily. Doesn't mean that he's guaranteed for anything. But we do have to keep that in mind. Keon Coleman is very young. And I think the Bills feel that way about Keon Coleman, which is why I say I don't think they're taking a wide receiver that early in this draft. A lot of people, I mean, Mike and Chris in the afternoon, I mean, Shope has loved Luther Burden for a long time. Luther Burden's a fantastic player. He might be a great NFL player. Emmanuel Abaku, I like a lot from Ohio State. I think he has a high, high floor. He's going to be a really good player in this league. I just don't think the Bills are going to do something like that. It doesn't, to me, makes sense based on what they do, how they operate, and what their roster looks like right now. What did I say about Egbuka? Sorry about that. Emeka Egbuka. He's the Ohio State receiver. There's a couple of names in this draft. Nick Emmanwori. I think that one's all right. But how about the kid from Boston College? Azaraku. Donovan Azaraku. I believe that's how you say it now. I've been trying to practice that one just in case, because you never know. I like him a lot. Could he fall to the Bills at 30? But wide receiver is a spot where a lot of people have talked about. And I look at their wide receiver group right now. And I'm going to say the same thing I say about wide receiver as I do about safety for people. And it's, you have to understand the difference here. You listening right now, person who called earlier, first caller of the day. Oh, I disagree about safety. This is how they need to view it because this is what they have. Okay, that's fine. But it's not how they view it. That's not to me, it's not. I could be totally wrong, unless I think the Bills have a major shift in philosophy, or they just really love a guy so much, which is possible. It doesn't, you can think they should view something some way. It's what they actually view and how you get to a certain conclusion of what they're going to do. And that's what I always try to bring. So I'm going to say this at wide receiver again. Khalil Shakir just got paid. He's here. He's getting good money. And he's their number one guy. When I say number one, he's not a true, like, number one wideout in the sense of a Ja'Marr Chase, a, you know, Justin Jefferson, a Stephon Diggs. But he's their number one guy, right? Like, the guy that you look for and eats up most of the more targets than other guys and whatever. They just drafted Keon Coleman with the top pick of the second round last year. Not a first-round pick, but essentially kind of like that, right? He's young. Don't forget he's young. Everybody tells us he's young. He was on a really nice path last year. Sean McDermott said he was getting dominant at points. You think they don't love that guy and what his potential at least is? I think they do. But they were definitely soured on how everything went with him at the end of the year. It doesn't mean they're throwing him out and saying he's not going to be good. It means they just want to recapture that and say, how do we get him back to there? But certainly you could see how they would have faith that they can do that, right? Then they signed Josh Palmer to $9 million a year. Now, you don't have to love that deal. That's fine. I also have some reservations about how much money that is for a guy. What is he going to be able to do here? He fits a specific skill set. But with that money in this room, that's telling me he's going to play. That's already three spots down, folks. Okay? Then you have Curtis Samuel, who last year got $8 million a year. Go listen to Josh Allen and others, but especially Josh recently, talk about Curtis Samuel and how much towards the end of the year when he was healthy, big play in the playoff game against the Broncos, what he was able to do and kind of building on that. I think that means that, you know, they're really kind of all in on him still being a really big part of what they might be able to do on offense. Doesn't mean he's going to be on the field for 90% of the snaps, but I think that he's still factors in their plans. That's four. Where is this other wide receiver coming from? What's he going to do? The only thing I'd see, and by the way, I'm not even counting and talking about Tyrell Shavers, who looked good in training camp. We thought he might make the team. He didn't. And then gets one touch against the Jets at the end of the year and scores a touchdown. Now, I'm not talking about KJ Hamler, Jalen Virgil, or even Laviska Shenault, which is really more of a kick returner, but still has some skill, who the Bills said they liked coming out of the draft a few years ago. That's why I'm not in on wide receiver for them, because I don't think they're in on wide receiver. There are guys I like. I just don't see it happening. Same thing at safety. To get us back to there, big discussion today. We've had it. I went on the morning show this morning. I saw WGR tweeted out. By the way, YouTube. This is on YouTube. Everything's on YouTube now, on the morning show and the afternoon show. And I haven't said this in a while, but if you're not watching our shows on YouTube in the morning or in the afternoon, you're missing out. This show's not on YouTube right now. Maybe eventually. But I'm telling you, morning show, Jeremy and Joe on YouTube. Afternoon show, Show Up the Bulldog on YouTube. Super awesome. Got a great, what they call bullpen. It's a chat box. Everybody's there. Live chat going on. I jump in there sometimes. Got a great community there that's a part of it. But the other thing is you can kind of scroll back and forth really easy. You know what I do? I put on YouTube for Mike and Chris or for Jeremy and Joe, and I just leave it on and listen. And then once in a while, I'll peek in and look. But you can just listen that way. And it's super cool. And it's also available in Canada. Our Odyssey app doesn't work in Canada for Canadian listeners. YouTube does. If you're a Canadian listener, you have friends or family, they're Canadian listeners who haven't been able to listen to WGR in a while, tell them to find us on YouTube and you can start listening and watching now. And then after these shows, they put out these, like, you know, little highlights and clips and segments. And I saw, we tweeted out today, Sal Capaccio, Jeremy and Joe got heated about safety. It was a good discussion. I wouldn't say I was heated, but it was a good discussion. And the reason I say it that way is, we just had a disagreement on, you know, it's not even how to view these safeties or where they would play with Buffalo. The issue is, a lot of you just tell me and think, well, this is what the Bills should do. How do you look at the roster? You play general manager. That's fine. That's cool. That's what this time of year is about. You should play general manager. It's fun. I try to tell you what I think the team's going to do. Not what I would do if I was the team GM. And I'm telling you, I'd be surprised if they take a safety in the first round. I think they're going to draft one later in the draft. Because safety to me, and I'm going back and forth again with people on X about this morning. People think I'm saying that, oh my God, the Bills are all set at safety. Sure, you could draft Malachi Starks. Maybe he's better than Taylor Rapp. Nick Amemori, I really love. I think he can play in the NFL. I don't think the Bills feel that they need to do something on top of Taylor Rapp or Cole Bishop right now. That's kind of the reason they signed DeMar Hamlin, to come back and be a little more insurance. I know you don't love that. You don't love hearing that. It's not a lot of money, but that's why. That's why they signed Derek Forrest from the Commanders. Four-year player. He's put some time in. He's played in a similar system. Can play special teams. And let's not forget they have Cam Lewis. I know, right? Not names that scream to you, oh my God, these are great playmakers. I get it. Somebody told me this morning, tweeted at me, that, well, then if they're going to go with that group, they're just going to keep getting beat over the top. What? They allowed the fifth fewest 20-plus yard pass plays in the league last year. They didn't get beat over the top all the time. They did when Cole Bishop came in against Houston by Nico Collins. Terrible play. They did against the Denver Broncos in the playoff game. Terrible. Yeah, I know. It can happen. I think the Bills feel they can make those guys better still by adding to their defensive line, by adding to the pass rush, by having better corners, which I think they'll still try to upgrade in this draft. But that's why I'm where I am on safety. And the reason why it's a discussion is so many people are talking about safety. All these national people are linking the Bills with safety. Malachi Starks, Nick Emmanuel. As I sit here right now, let me say it this way. If I'm sitting in the Bills media room tonight and they're on the clock at 30 and it comes across that they take a safety, I'll be surprised. But it doesn't mean that I don't think the guy can't come in and play. Because there is certainly a defense and argument for that. I'll be surprised because I don't think they view that spot, that position in the first round as being someone who can come in right away and play over the guys they have because of how they've treated the position in years past. I'll be the first to tell you, the Bills play younger players more than people realize. They always do. They play Christian Benford right away. They play Osiris Torrance right away. But that is a position where they back off on that. That safety has always been that. Safety is a spot where they usually don't play guys super early unless they have to. You can make an exception if he's that good. Fascinating. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here. We'll wrap up your Thursday draft day here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. All right. What do we got? How many hours left here? Eight? A little over 8 hours.
The commissioner steps up. 8 hours and 7 minutes.
8 hours and 7 minutes, baby. So if you're wondering how late you're going to be up tonight, if the Bills actually pick at pick number 30, it is probably about 11:30. I looked back last year. 11:30 was when the pick number 30 was made. And the year before, right around that time, pretty much every year. So, yeah, that's what's going on tonight. We're going to be all over it for you here, WGR Sports Radio 550. And want to let you know, I want to pull this up to make sure everybody knows what we have going on. All right, here we go. Nate, Zach, Derek hosting draft coverage. Starts at 7 p.m. tonight, 7 p.m. tomorrow night, 11 a.m. on Saturday, every round, every pick. I will be on location, of course, from One Bills Drive. So make sure you're checking us out. Also, everybody, make sure you're joining us in the fight against cancer by riding with Bulldog and WGR's Ride for Roswell team on Saturday, June 28th. Once you join our team, you're going to receive an email to pick up your team t-shirt and water bottle at Tom's Pro Bikes on Walden Avenue in Lancaster. If you're not a rider, don't worry, you can still support the cause by donating to our team and helping us reach our goal of $10,000 before the ride. Visit WGR550.com for details. Check it out right there. All right, tonight, the Bills pick number 30. We don't know if they're actually going to be on the clock that time. Stay with us all day long. Sabres Live up next. One Bills Live after that. Show up with the Bulldog at 3 o'clock. A lot more coverage. I'll be joining them. I'll be down at One Bills Drive. Enjoy Draft Night 2025, the first round tonight.